Can you say God is faithful? Would you stand with me this morning and find Matthew chapter 11? Aren't you glad that God is more than enough? We've been texting with one of the deacons this morning, Joe Flores. His daughter Chloe has been admitted to the hospital, having some issues. So I told him we would pray for them this morning. So can we just pray for Joe and Carmen and the family? Father, we bring the family before you in the name of Jesus, and we bring peace and strength and healing, for by his stripes we were healed. Father, we release strength to Joe and Carmen, ask for wisdom to doctors, ask you, Lord, that you will just move in that room even right now for your glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and thank you. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. While you're finding Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist was not having one of his better days. Some of you didn't have a good day this past week. Maybe you didn't even have a good week. Maybe even this month hasn't gone very well, even though you're only at day 5 of it. John is in prison here in this story. And Regina and I have visited prisons. We've ministered in prison. But we've never spent the night in prison. Have you, honey? I haven't. Okay. I just want to be sure. We've never spent the night in prison. I know that you're not supposed to fear, but one of the secret fears I have is being incarcerated. That is a fear that I have had. I don't want to do anything. It's like with the IRS. I don't know how you are with the IRS, but with the IRS, I want to pay everything I owe them, but nothing more. And if somebody says, well, you can cheat a little here. No. I'll pay it. Because the IRS can come in there and they can slam you down, and I don't want that. Well, John, in Matthew chapter 11, he was in prison. Verse 2. Now, when John was in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the expected one? Are you the one we're looking for? Are you the Messiah? Or do we need to look for somebody else? Jesus answered and said to him, go and report to John what you hear and see. Everybody say, hear and see.
Hear and see.
The blind receive sight. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and welcome them. If there's somebody nearby that you don't know, let them know you're glad to have them here this morning, will you? Welcome them. Good morning. What a great crowd. Testing one. What a great crowd this morning. Thank you for coming. Let me see. Morning. Our verse of the week, they'll place on the screen, John 14, verse 6. Read it aloud with me, please. Let's read together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One more time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What do you do when fear and doubts flood in? What do you do in overwhelming situations? Over the last couple of years, we have lived in an overwhelming world. And I have good news for you. It's going to get worse. You say, that's not good news. Oh, it is good news, because God is still on the throne. He's going to take care of his kids. And you're going to be okay as long as you surrender to him. But man, am I scared for those that don't know him. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. Let me tell you, church, he'll take care of his kids. Regina and I, we provided for our boys. There are parents in this room that would agree with me. There were times that we went without so our kids could have. Now, I've got good news for you. Our Father doesn't have to go without. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath them. He supplies our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, for he is more than enough. So in your notes this morning, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, Jesus is the one. Say that with me. Jesus is the one. John had proclaimed and seen some incredible things. Earlier in the book of John, we see that John sees Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John was the cousin of Jesus. John knew who Jesus was. But doubt crept in. Some of you are in the dungeon of doubt right now, and you don't know what's going to happen and how you're going to get out of it. But there is good news this morning. Regardless of what you are going through or you are facing, Jesus is still the one. John the Baptist's disciples traveled about 100 miles. That was not in their Rolls Royce. That was probably by foot. Traveled 100 miles. And they traveled to ask Jesus the question. Verse 3, are you the one? Are you the expected one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we are looking for? This morning, everyone has doubts. We don't know what's going to happen. We were talking to some people this week that they're expecting a food shortage. We're talking to somebody else. They're dealing with some medical shortages. There are difficulties, and it's probably going to get worse. But in the midst of it, we can rest assured because Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. In your notes, Jesus tells John's disciples, go back and tell John, oh, I love this, I am still the God of the impossible. Can I tell you this morning, we do not serve a God made with human hands. We serve a God who is on the throne. He reigns, he rules, he is the rock, he is the fortress, he is the shelter, he is the strength, he is the refuge. You can run to him today because he is God. Do not limit him. Jeremiah 32, 17. Nothing. Say that with me. Nothing. Say it again. Nothing. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them nothing. Come on, church. Nothing is too hard for our God. We need someone. We need something to hold on to. And the good news is his name is Jesus. We have someone to we have someone to hold on to. When you don't know what to do, just hang on to his cloak this morning. He's faithful. Understand that Jesus is not only the God of the impossible, but he's the good news. He is the good news. Oh, Mike, thank you so much for sharing with us about the good news of this book. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. He is the good news. When you don't know what to say, just begin to quote the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. Too often, we interpret God in light of our tragedies rather than our tragedies in light of our God. What is the gospel? It's that Jesus came to restore relationship. At lunch today, and you'll be out in just a few minutes, you'll get to go pet all those stinky animals. And I know what some of you men are going to be doing. You're going to be looking at them going, man, that would make a good steak. These animals are not for sale or cooking, okay? I just want to make you aware of it. So for the 105% of you that are carrying this morning, just keep it in the holster, okay? Some of you think I'm joking. Regina and I, we've told it for years. We've said, there are so many people in our church that carries, if anything happens, we're hitting the deck. And you know why we're hitting the deck? One of the reasons, because some of you don't need to be carrying. I've seen you shoot. Barney Fife the second. Anyway, back to lunch today. As you sit at lunch table, why don't, as a family, you just, hallelujah, remember what God's done. Students that graduated, remember how hard some of those classes were. Remember how you didn't know the answers. I honestly tell you this. They have taken prayer out of school, but as long as there are tests, there will be prayer in school. And before I would take the test, this is honest truth. This is how I prayed. Now, some of you teachers won't appreciate this, but it's the truth. I would pray, God, bring to my mind the things I don't, the things I've studied, and the things I don't know, help me to guess well. And students, never, everybody say never.
Never
leave anything blank. So I'm taking a test. I have no idea what the answer is. I wrote down Mickey Mouse. I got the test back. She didn't count it wrong. I guess she was laughing. Never leave it blank. It wasn't Mickey Mouse, but that's what I wrote. Jesus declared, you have the gospel preached to them. In 1973, a comic strip came out. How many of you read the comics? Anybody read the comics? It's not sin. I'm not trying to bait you. Hagar the Horrible came out in 1973. It became the fastest growing comic strip at that time. In one of the instances, we saw Hagar kneeling down in prayer and saying, God, where are you? And then a flower you see, and you see a shooting star, and you see the eclipse of the sun. You see a tidal wave. You see lightning flash, a stone rolling away from the tomb. And Hagar gets up and goes, oh, forget it, God. Whenever I try to talk to you, I always get interrupted. Now, I realize I'm the only dumb husband in this place. But there are times I have no idea what my wife is talking about. I'm trying. I really am. We've been married 40 years. And she'll tell you, hey, he's not what I want, but I don't want to start back over again. We've got 40 years invested in this thing. Can you imagine starting over again? And there are times I'm looking at her, and I'm trying, Curtis. Curtis, I am trying to understand it. But I'm acluistic. I'm just going, yeah. And then I get in trouble when she says, what did I say? Well, honey, don't you know what you said? Honey, I would repeat it, but I can't say it as well as you did. I just saw one of the ladies shaking her head. This morning, in the world in which we live, there is only one hope, and it's Jesus. Secondly, in your notes, Jesus, Regina talked about it earlier. He's already gone back to heaven. Now you're the one. I'm going to go through this fast, but I hope that you will put your seatbelt on, that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Jesus is gone, but you're here. And now you're the one. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the one. The Bible is replete with one stories of how that one person makes a difference. I've chosen just three. 1 Kings chapter 18, from Elijah and the prophets of Baal, we learn to take a stand and make a difference. Say that with me. Take a stand, make a difference. One more time. Take a stand, make a difference. The odds were against Elijah. If you know the story, it was 850-1. 850 irreligious, sinful, idolatrous prophets against Elijah. But they built the altar. I wish I had the time to paint the picture so beautifully, but Elijah allowed the 850 to go first. And they called and they called and they prayed to their God and nothing happened. And then in the afternoon, Elijah begins to build his altar and he begins to sacrifice his animal. And then he calls down just a very simple prayer and he prays a prayer it's in your notes, 1 Kings 18, 36 and 37. Today, let it be known that you are God. Lord, answer me that this people may know that you are God. And can I tell you this morning, the same God that answered Elijah is the same God that will answer you. You may not feel like your prayer ever goes above the ceiling. Can I tell you that God hears the cries of his children? God answered Elijah. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Church, this morning, it is time for those who are Christ followers to take a stand, not in a rebellious or a hateful manner, but in a loving way where we present Jesus to a lost and a dying world because he is the only answer. Second story is found in Matthew 14. Give what you have so God can give what he has. One of the reasons that we don't see God move more is we're not giving what we have. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about offering. Forget the offering for a moment. Are you giving your time? Are you giving him your talent? Are you giving him first place? Students that are graduated, are you giving God first? He deserves it. And he doesn't take second well. If you want his blessings, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. In Matthew 14, we find the story. Jesus has been teaching, he's been healing. It's getting late, and it's dinner time. The stomachs are starting to growl, kind of like some of yours. They're getting ready. And Jesus begins to ask them, what are we going to do? And they said, well, send the crowds away. Jesus asks Philip, he says, Philip, what are we going to do? Philip says, Jesus, we don't have enough bread. We don't have enough food for these people. And listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 14, 16. They do not need to go away. You, everybody say you. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them you. You give them something to eat. Oh, come on, Jesus. There's 5,000 men plus women and children, 12 to 15,000, maybe 20,000 people here. What difference is my little bit going to make? Yes, it will. If you'll give what you have, God will give you what he has. He's already given his son. He's already given his first. He's already given his best. And he's not holding out on you. Oh, I don't know who that just quickened to. There's somebody in this room this morning. You have felt like God's been holding out on you. God's been holding out on me because I've been praying for a spouse. It's more important that you become the right person than you find the right person. Oh, I've been praying for a job. Are you being faithful where you are? You showing up late, leaving early, not doing your job? Well, we want children. The Bible says children are a blessing from the Lord. Those of you that are parents, especially of young children, you need to quote that often. Lord, I've prayed. Why can't we have kids? Lord, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. God, we need more finances. Lord, we need another car. God, my air conditioner's gone out. Lord, help me. What did Jesus say? Matthew 14, verse 18. Bring what you have. Bring the five fish, five bread, two fish. Bring it to me. Just give him what you have. Oh, but it's not as much as what Mike has. Or I saw Mike McGee, our missionary, one of our missionaries. Mike, wave at us, will you? Mike McGee's been down Uvalde. How long are you down there, Mike? 2 days? Ministering during the situation that's happened in Uvalde. He's passing through and he stopped to have service with us this morning. Would you welcome my friend Mike McGee, one of our missionaries that we support? We love you and bless you, man, in the name of Jesus. I can't take off my job and go down to Uvalde. I can't do that. God's not asking you to do something you can't. He's just asking you to do what you can. He'll do what you can't. Let me say it again. God's not asking you to do what you can't. He's asking you to do what you can. He'll do what you can't. For the need of the 5,000 we met, the boy had to give up his lunch. Now, I don't know about you. That was the first miracle. It was late. You say, oh, Pastor, that's not a miracle. Okay, when you go to lunch today, you try to take the food off somebody else's table. I won't take long. I'll just tell you, forgive me, okay? Everybody say, I forgive you. Thank you. I have this weird dream sometimes of walking through the restaurant and just taking food off people's table, off their plates. How is that? Is that very good? No, I don't like that. How about yours? Is yours good? Yeah, y'all are laughing, but if I was taking yours, you wouldn't be laughing. You'd be looking at me like. And then your bewilderment would go into anger. What's he doing? Especially if it's dessert time. Don't mess with my dessert. I eat it first in case the rapture takes place. If you want God to show up, have a generous, everybody say generous heart. So Jesus, Mark 6:34, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Some of you are going to go eat in just a few minutes. Seriously. Be moved with compassion for your server. Do you know servers will tell you that some of the meanest people are people who just came from church? They won't tip well. They'll leave a tip. They'll leave a track, but not a tip. Never leave a track if you don't leave a tip. Okay, let's try this side. I said, never leave a track if you don't leave a tip. Don't leave a Bible and say, oh, you need to read this. This will help you. Listen, I got to pay bills. If you want me to be helped, give me some money first and then meet my spiritual need. You're the one in your notes to defeat some giants so others can live in victory. Oh, I love this story. You can't simply fight all the battles, but you can fight some. Do not merely live for this generation. Graduates, don't live for your generation. There are children that are in children's church right now. They look up to some of our youth. They idolize some of our youth. Some of you adults, there are some young people. They look up to some of you, and they want to be like you. May they see you at your best, and when they see you at your worst, may you admit it to them. So in 1 Samuel 17, it was often that when nations would fight against each other, a individual and an individual would come and face off so that only one person would have to die. And whoever won that one-on-one, mano a mano, whoever won that one-on-one, then the other nation would submit to them. So many of you know the story, 1 Samuel 17. Goliath, everybody say Goliath. Goliath is over 9 feet tall. His armor weighs 125 pounds. That's more than some of you weigh. The tip of his spear, not the spear, the tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds. That may not sound like much, but if you're holding that, running with that, 15 pounds gets heavy. I was talking to somebody just recently. They were going on a run, and he had to carry a 40-pound bag on his back. Now, 40 pounds may not sound like much until you start carrying it and you start running. After 1 mile, you're going to be tired. After 2, you're going to be dead dog tired. By the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th miles, you're going to be looking for when's this going to be over. So we see Goliath, and on the other side, we see David. Many scholars believe that David was probably about 20 years old. Some say as young as 14, some say in his early 20s. But he's a young man. And so here is David, and listen to what Goliath challenged Israel to fight 1 Samuel 17:11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Someone in this sanctuary, or maybe online, you are afraid and dismayed. You've tried, you've prayed, you've come, you've given, you've done what you know to do. Lord, why didn't you show up? Why didn't you heal? Why didn't you provide? Where are you, God? David goes to King Saul. He volunteers to fight. Listen to what David said. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of that Philistine. David goes out to battle, and the Bible says, verse 42, the Philistine looked and saw him and disdained him. Another way of saying it, he made fun of him. You little runt. Who do you think you are? Hey, send me out a man. Don't send a boy to do a man's job. Listen to what David said. Get this in your spirit. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. It's on the screen. Would you read it aloud with me? Let's read together. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. You need that this morning. Say it again and read it together. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See, we don't fight against flesh and blood. The person you're sitting next to, they're not your problem. Your children are not your problem. Your parents are not your problem. Your employer is not your problem. This is not a flesh and blood. This is a spiritual thing. Where we are in America today is a spiritual thing. What happened in Uvalde? That's a spiritual thing. This thing's, you got to look at it from spiritual eyes. But I love what David did, and may I, as I close this morning, challenge you to heed David's example. When David approached the giant, he didn't walk like this. Oh, man, I don't know what to do. No, what does it say? It says David ran, and he didn't run. Tiptoe through the tulip. No, he ran quickly. Church, this morning, it is time for the church to stand. It is time for the church to advance. It is time for the church to take back what the enemy has stolen, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you give the Lord a praise offering this morning? Hallelujah. You're good, Lord. You are good. You are good. Some of you need to become a giant killer for your next generation. Sitting in this sanctuary right now, there are some first generation believers. And you've wondered, I didn't think this was going to be so hard. Let me tell you, first generation believers, you're fighting some battles I never fought. You know why? Because I'm not a first generation. My mom and dad paved a path for me. But nobody paved that path for you. You're paving that path for your children. You're paving that path for your grandchildren. You're paving that path for your great-grandchildren. You're paving that path for this community. Take it by force. Would you bow your heads? With heads bowed this morning, I want to ask you, is your relationship right with Jesus? Is he Lord of your life? Have you surrendered to him? I'm not asking, are you good or bad? I'm asking, is Jesus Lord? With heads bowed this morning, as I lead us in this prayer, I invite everyone online and in this room to pray this prayer and make things right with God. Would you join me as we pray today? This is not about church membership. This is only, only, only about a relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I open myself to you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I submit to you. And I gladly confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Now, with heads bowed, respecting the privacy of others, you say, Pastor, when I walked in this place, when I tuned in this morning, My relationship was not right, but I've asked his forgiveness. I've surrendered to him, and now he's Lord of my life. All across this room and on the airwaves, would you just slip your hand up and let me say, thank you, God bless you, and we'll just move on. I'll not ask you to come forward. This is a statement of faith. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, thank you. This is beautiful. Hallelujah. Who else? It's me this morning, you say. This morning, I made a decision. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Anyone else? If you're online, go to BethelE3.org. And on the front there, there's a place that you can click on the tab. It says prayer or praise and say, today, I made Jesus Lord. Anyone else before I move on? Would everyone stand with me this morning? In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to give the Lord a praise offering. Everyone standing. But before you give the Lord a praise offering for what he's done, I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ to be the one. Be the one. Be the one. Give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.